Hey, it's Steve Imke. In the fall of 2016, I had an opportunity to spend two nights with a class full of hobbyists that wanted to learn how to take a hobby that they love and turn it into a viable business. During those two nights, I took them on a journey of business entrepreneurship. I'm sorry you didn't make it, and I hope this is the next best thing. Here are excerpts from that live event. Hope you enjoy it. But even more important, I hope it inspires you to get off the couch and do something with it. Thanks for listening. So, financial thresholds. I write a business blog. I got some, and I offer a myriad of free resources on there. And so we'll talk about a lot of different resources on there, and a couple of them that I want to talk to you about right now are on there. So one of the first things that I want to talk about is what I call the startup worksheet. So before you even get going, you need to take a look at, this is a little bit different now, but basically it's not, they're listed in alphabetical order, but there's certain things that you have to think about whether I want to develop. Accounting and bookkeeping, setup fees. I know you can't see that, but if you were to go ahead and download it, you could. How much is it going to cost for me to go ahead and do that? The next one there, advertising for the opening or brand development and design, all these different things. I mean, they're not made to be all the things that you need to consider, but it starts to get you thinking about the types of things that you go ahead and need. And so what I tell people to do is you sit there and you've got to enter essentially what you think that cost is going to be. Now, we'll talk a little bit about how you fund this later on, but in most cases it's going to come from your pocket somewhere, because you're not going to be able to go to a bank to fund that, and so some of that other stuff is if it's leverageable or not. But for most cases it's not. The idea is, so you're going to come up with a number, and then you have to ask yourself, where's it going to come from? Do I have the financial resource to make that happen, or do I know enough people that can help me achieve this through an investment or something along that line to go off and do that? We'll talk a lot more about investments and those kind of things. So the first thing is to really calculate what your startup costs are. The next thing, by the way, these are all downloadable at stevebizblog.com, but if you go there, the first thing I want to talk about, or the next thing is about what I call the break-even analysis. And so I think so all businesses have what we call fixed expenses and variable expenses. So what do you think fixed expenses are? These are the expenses like rent, telephone bill. These are things that doesn't matter whether you make a sale or not, you're still going to pay them. Then we have variable expenses. And those variable expenses only really are things that I'm going to go ahead and have if, in fact, I get a job to do that. So if I use the quilting, I'm only going to buy the fabric if I go ahead and need that. I'm only going to buy the mason jars and those kind of things if I need that. Right? So those are the kind of things that we're talking about. So those are what we call variable expenses. And those could be labor and a lot of other kind of things. So from the fixed side, again, you've got what I'll call overhead and wages. And so this is your selling thing, right? So, as part of the fixed expense, it's your job to do the marketing. So you have to spend some time doing that. Right? And it's that part that would show up on the fixed side. Because even if you made no sales, you're still investing that time trying to make sales to actually do that. So if I go back to my invisible fencing days, I might have to make two or three sales calls before I actually made one sale. But that was part of it. So I couldn't just say, oh, just one sales call, here's what it is. I mean, that's when we estimate, we were terrible at that, right? We think, I'm going to make one sales call, I'm going to sell the product, and you know what I mean? I'm going to spend an hour with the customer, I'm going to make this, and so on and so forth. But inevitably, we have to make several sales calls because some people don't buy. And so that's what this is. Now, we also have to account for the fact that payroll isn't free, right? You pay taxes on that. There's payroll expenses that you have to kind of cover. Then we also have prorated bills that we have to prorate things. So like my accountant, for example, I pay her basically once a year. I pay her like $2,500 to come tax time. So I need to account for a little over $200 every month, even though I physically don't write a check to her, but that's ultimately what it costs me to be in business. So I have to account for that. So if this was a monthly break even, I have to account for that, because otherwise I'm just short of money, that one month when I have to write her this large check. So we have prorated annual accounting, maybe in legal fees that you only do periodically, advertising and promotion. So maybe you've got something you're going to go ahead, especially in the hobby industry, you're going to get really big big around the holidays, and so you're going to have more advertising expenses during that particular month, but we need to take that whole annual expenditure and kind of divide it out according to however we're going to use this break even. Generally, it's monthly or something along that line. So same with insurance premiums, that kind of stuff. Some of them come, you know, monthly, but other ones aren't, type of a thing. Loan payments, those kind of things. So these, not prorated anymore, but these are just ones that happen. Rent and so on and so forth. So it's not, again, to be an entire list, but to kind of get you thinking about things that, hey, you got to go pay this all the time. Now, if you have a retail type of a business and you have a cashier that's sitting in front of your store, what side is she on? Is she fixed or variable cost? She's a fixed, right? Because whether you make a sale or not, right, you're still paying her salary. Now, I used to have a documentation and training business. So here's what would happen is you'd contract me to write a service manual and a user guide and that kind of stuff, maybe a training course to teach your field service technicians how to go ahead and repair the product out in the field. So when I would get that job, I would then put somebody on that project. If I didn't have somebody there, then they wouldn't work for me. You know, so they come in, they're kind of like government contracting, right? Well, I have the contract, you work for me, the contract gets canceled or expires, you go away, and hopefully I have another one. I'm trying to sell the next project on the heels of that other one, right? But at the same token, there may be a time when it's not there. So those are what we call variable, right? And so those are generally billable people and stuff. So you have, if you're selling products, you've got cost of goods sold. If you have labor, maybe you're a cleaning company or whatever the case may be. If you're bringing in contractors, whatever, those are in. So you're not really paying those expenses unless I have a customer, and those can include like shipping costs and travel time, and you know, if you're at the drive to somebody's place or whatever. So what we do is we kind of plot them on a graph. And so if you can kind of see, we at the very beginning of the month, essentially, we've dug ourselves a hole. So in this particular example, we have $2,560 of fixed expenses. So as we come here, we start already at $5,260, all right, or $2,560. And then each time, well, this is units on the bottom, and this is dollars on this other axis, every time we sell one more unit, we move this bar up by that corresponding number, which happened to be, in this particular thing, $27. So the trajectory of this line here was $27. This is where we start our sales, at zero. And we sell this for whatever our price is. In this case, it happens to be $60. So there's what we call a margin. The margin is $33, which is the difference between 27 and 60. It's not profit, it's margin at this point. So margin fills in this gap right here. So again, this trajectory, $27, this is 60 as we move through. Eventually, we reach a point right here at these number of units that represent break even. So again, if we go back to the numbers here, that happened to be 78 or $4,654. We're not talking rocket science here. It's a relatively simple equation to go in there. If I only sold this many units down here, somewhere in the middle, and I was to project that line up, I could take that space, I could apply it to the scale, and I'd know exactly how much I'm going to lose. So everything in this quadrant is a loss. Everything in this quadrant is profit. So why is this so important? I'll tell you why. How much of this fixed expenses can you control?
Much.
Not much. How much of this? This is market stuff too, right? Market rates for people, like cost of goods sold or whatever. What can you control? How much I'm going to sell my product for. So if I was to change that number in the spreadsheet from $60 to $80, that line would get steeper and I'd cross sooner. Now, I may sell less units, kind of thing to go off and do that. So I want to add another degree to this. So we have that one that we're showing here. It kind of looks something like that, right? But let's take, for example, what I want to call. So again, this is our break-even point. But if we can convert any of our fixed expenses to variable expenses, we want to do that in the early stages of our business. So let me give you an example. Say you're a landscaping company, and you have the option of buying a backhoe, right, or renting a backhoe. So if I decide I want to rent the backhoe, because here I own it, because this I have fixed principal and interest payments every month, whether the backhoe's in use or not. But if I choose not to buy it, but to lease it, my fixed price starts here. Now, my cost for the job is going to be higher because I got to now rent it in addition to it, right? So, but at this point, let's just say, for comparison, I'm going to come across roughly the same line here, right? At the same break-even point as I kind of go out here. And so essentially, that's how the line should come in here. So my point is, if I only sold this many units here, I would have lost less money. Now, on this side here, I want, now when I reach this point right here, this break-even point, now I want to stop renting that equipment and buy it. Because at that point, I want to take advantage of this bigger triangle on that side. You see what I'm getting toward? Because in this particular case, I have lower risk, but then I have lower reward. If I own it, it changes. Is that clear? Right. So when it comes to, should I buy it? Should I rent it? It's going to be one of the biggest questions that you have to face as we kind of go in there. So the other big piece of this, of the financial part of this, is cash flow. So I teach a class at the Air Force Academy, and I was describing this situation here, and I was saying, okay, so we have businesses that have, we have gazinas, what I call, the money that comes into the business. And so that may be from sales, other forms of cash flow that you have that kind of come in. And then we have what we call gazoutas, the money leaving the business, right? And so it's just like your checkbook. You've got maybe money coming in from a salary, and then you've got all these household expenses where money's going out. At the end of the month, you have a balance, right? Well, essentially what we do here with the cash flow is we do the same thing that you do with your checkbook backwards when you manage your checkbook. Does everybody have a checkbook? I mean, sometimes I have to ask that question. Yeah, so I mean, some people don't have checkbooks anymore. But the same thing that we do when we reconcile our checkbook, we do this forward. We just kind of estimate it going forward. And so what happens is the first month we have not a lot of gazinas, we've got more gazoutas, and the next month we have a little bit less. And so what we end up having is typically we have a curve, kind of like this is your zero line. And so these are months here. And of course, every business is going to be different. I lose a lot maybe in the first month. Then I instead of coming all the way down here, that same trajectory, I actually maybe lose a little less. Then maybe I reach a point of equilibrium and I break even. Then I finally begin to show a little bit more gazinas than gazoutas, and eventually I come across this path, right? So at some point, we need to calculate how deep this is. So what's the gap that's in there? And so when I teach this class at the Air Force Academy, the guy says, I get it. He says, too much cargo, not enough runway. And to me, that really kind of summed it up, right? Because this is the runway right here. And either we have to have enough cash to get out there. And if this extends a little bit too far to reach that point right there, we've just kind of run out of runway. Too much cargo, too many expenses. So this becomes a go, no-go decision. Because if I can't come up with the funding to make this work, there's no reason to really go create an entity, do any market research, or anything like that. So the very first thing I always encourage people to do is let's go through some of the finance stuff. Let's see how much it's going to cost to make it. Thank you for listening to How to Turn My Hobby into a Full-Fledged Business. To learn more about Steve Emke, or to learn more about what it takes to own and operate a small business, please visit stevebizblog.com. That's stevebizblog.com. Or look for Steve's many books on various aspects of small business ownership at amazon.com or at stevebizblog.com.